Hey, Relay, we are here on Monday, December 11th. It is me, Matt Chinnow. I'm here with Kafuzi and Tommy Runs. I usually just say Rambling Runner. You guys have stage names. I need a stage name as good as your stage names. Like Kafuzi and Rambling and Tommy Runs sounds great.
Like, that is your stage name. You're a Rambling Runner.
Yeah,
I refer to you as Rambling Runner all the time.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I mean, if I was like, hey, yeah, Matt Chinnow, they'd be like, huh? And then I'd say Rambling Runner. He's like, oh, yeah, I know that guy.
See? That's funny. And the rest of my life is the exact opposite. It's like, wait, what? Well, what's the Rambling Runner? It's like, you're my family. You should know. We've talked about this before, but come on, wife.
Like your kids. Like, wait, what do you do? What do you do in the basement? What do you got? What are you doing down there in the basement?
Right, exactly. I do wonder sometimes what my kids say to like their teacher. Like, oh, what does your parents do for a job?
He talks to his friends in the basement.
My dad just rambles. I'm not sure if he's talking to anybody. He just goes in the basement and starts talking.
I did sign up for my older daughters, or I guess both of them are in the same school, but for career day.
Really?
And so like, there's like a Google form you have to fill in and they're like, write down your profession. And I was like, YouTuber?
Yes! I was hoping you were going to say that.
We'll see.
You must have been the hit of this place.
Like, I don't know.
Every
I don't
kid
know.
Wants to be you.
Has it happened yet?
No one has. There's been no follow-up. There's
what?
Been no follow-up email.
Oh, they don't
yet.
Want you. They
it's
don't
not
want
till
you
next
there.
Year. So like,
no, they don't want you in there.
I don't know.
That's all.
We'll see. I don't know. I have a feeling what they'd rather hear from is like small business owners in town here and doctors,
police officers, fire department.
Yeah.
No, I can tell you right now. They're like, no, we don't want this guy in here telling these kids these lies.
That's all the kids want. If the kids knew how the parents have filled out these forms, Mike, you would get the most votes. It might be unanimous. Maybe a unanimous vote on who they wanted to show up.
No, I don't think so. Because, like, you know, like my... I've met all, like, the other cross-country parents and stuff and all the track parents and things like that. And so they're just like, oh, okay, whatever. And, like, none of the kids are like, you know, interested in what I do either. Like, all my daughter's friends know.
Tommy, step
only,
in here.
Only like one or two like have been like, my daughter has brought a couple of friends down to see the shoe wall, and only like one of them has mentioned that it's interesting to me.
Wait,
so,
number okay. Well, first, how old are your kids?
Yeah, my older daughter is 11.
Oh, okay, but still, I think. Well, number one, consistently. In our friendship, you've underestimated your superstardom like multiple times. And then number two, like I didn't think that my son's cross country team friends cared that I run at all, right? And then because they don't say anything to me ever, and then I'll hear from like their parents or like the coach that they mention me often. So I think that. If you showed up and then you just, you know, full Kafuzi guns blazing, I think that you'd shut it down. And if I could also be there just to be in another full room that is the people that aren't there for me, that'd be great.
Yeah.
No,
I think you're getting too into the weeds on this one, Mike, in terms of like, they don't like my running shoes. Like they hear YouTuber.
Yeah.
160,000 plus subscribers. They don't need any more information.
That's not a lot for kids though. Kids watch accounts that are like 10 million subscribers.
That's true,
so this
that's
is
true.
Like, I'm just like some weird dude.
It's a lot for my kids. Well, it depends if they've started them. You know? If they've started YouTube, then it is because then they know they know the deal,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like one of my sons. I only have one son. One of my sons, one of his friends, is what I meant to say. Started one, and he just like pumps out like, you know, 12 like 90-second videos a day. Just like
really?
Straight up like, well, because like you know, on your phone, you record a video, you can just be like, send to YouTube. So it just like, it just uploads everything. Right.
Oh
kind of
gosh.
Like how like you upload like your photos to the cloud. That's how he treats YouTube uploads. So like, it's just constant. So he's like, I have 434 subscribers. To him, that's like the most amazing thing in the world, as
yeah,
it should be.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
If 400 people showed up to your house, you'd be like, this is a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
you know? But like, so I told them like, I know, I showed them your YouTube channel, Mike. And you're like, well, want to see a lot? Look at this. They're like, oh my God, that's amazing.
That's funny.
That's so messed up. It's kind of messed up as well. Like this kid has a smile on his face and then Rambling Runner comes along. Hey, I got a friend that's got 100 plus.
Well, I didn't show it to him. I showed it to my kids. Well, if that kid ever acts up in my house, that's a different story. Right. And be like, all right, let me show you the real deal here.
Like, you don't even have 1,000 followers.
Right. Show me your silver YouTube play button. You don't got one?
Yeah. Do you have one, Mike?
I do.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I love it. Man. All right. So some stuff went down last week. We saw a lot. It was lottery time. So this may be the season of giving for a lot of people. But if you were in the Berlin and Chicago lottery, it probably felt like the opposite. You probably did not get in. As always, those races are extremely difficult to get into. So obviously people enter those lotteries, you know, kind of on a wing and a prayer. And as much as we know, like, it can be tough to get into those races, it can be heartbreaking a little bit when you don't, especially for some people who were in both lotteries. We're thinking, all right, like, I just want to get into one. These are both fall races. I'm not going to run both, but if I get into one, that would be amazing. Some of those people struck out on both counts. So we're here to offer some advice, not mental support necessarily, but some alternatives, because as amazing as Berlin and Chicago are, we know this, Mike is like Mr. Chicago Marathon. You know, with all that being said, there's so many other great races, that's for sure, especially in the fall. So we're going to give a little rundown of like some potential options. And frankly, and Mike, you know this, and Tommy, so do you, because you've done like the speed projects and all of that. Just because something isn't necessarily, or doesn't have to be marathon season, even if someone is a marathoner, there can be some benefits. And Tom, you saw this, and you've talked a lot about it. Like, you can turn a season from marathon focus to a speed focus and still see like a huge benefit and still have it be really enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the pros have kind of showed us that in so many different ways. Like, a lot of the pros that are marathoners now have worked their way up from these shorter distances over time. So you could do your own like little version of that. Like, if you're, you know, like, you didn't get in and it's like, hey, I want to dedicate this many months to like having some fun, running a little faster, some shorter distances, that can, you know, shake things up a bit, but it gives you a different like type of engine going into like the next marathon season for something in like the spring or in the fall next year, obviously. But it's like, it's a really good time because it, you know, it's, you're not stepping down. It's not like you're like, oh, I'm going to a shorter distance because I can't take it. But it's like, hey, I want to have some fun, switch it up, get after it, and get a bunch of medals too. Like, because that's a cool way to get a bunch. You can't run a bunch of marathons in a year, really, you know? But you can run 10 5Ks, you know? Like, that's some fun stuff right there.
Yeah, for sure. And huge benefit if you go that route is you're not marathon training in the summer, right? I mean, yeah. Like, look at Berlin. It's like this is the last week of September. Chicago's not that long after, which means like you're doing some of the bulk of your training in some of the hottest months. Again, race day can be magical, but some of those long runs, Mike, and you know this, like, it can be so brutal, marathon training through the summer. Like, I'm like, personally, like, I'd rather marathon train through the winter because I can always get warmer. I can't cool down on some of these runs.
Right now.
Yeah, I mean, summer running for me, I'm not very adept at it, and so I just melt. I wilt like a piece of old lettuce, and so I don't really love fall marathons.
That's gonna that's your new nickname, baby spinach.
He's the old lettuce.
Well, spinach is pretty hardy. It's not real. I don't know if I'm at that level, but so I've been moving to longer distances for the fall, or just running more mileage and getting more into trails for the summer, because I don't like to run hard in the summer or like fast. So that's kind of what I do. I try to go on more adventures, try to spend more time in the trails. I try to do less workouts. And that's how I like to spend the summer. It's just more, it's kind of like fits also with my family schedule where we're traveling a little bit and spending more time with the kids. So I just don't like the pressure of training in the summer. So fall marathons are not my favorite, at least if I'm trying to PR.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you've run a lot of them, but a lot of them were like kind of like more event focused than like PR focused.
Right, right. So like Chicago, for a variety of reasons, like, you know, I don't try to PR that race anymore, even though it's a very favorable course. But, you know, I just got a lot of stuff going on. And the main thing is I also just don't want to train all summer long in Chicago for that race. So that's a fun one to be able to kind of like do a little bit more at party pace.
And you know how many times it's like you're marathon training, so you can't like have fun with the friends, like you can't go to all the different group runs and all that stuff because it's just kind of counteracts like what you're trying to do. And if you take some time like away from that because of this gift of not you know, getting in the lottery for either of those races, which seems like it sucks now. Like, you can focus on having some fun, being more like, you know, sure, I'll come for a 10-mile run or whatever. Sure, I'll do this little fast race or relay thing or whatever. It leaves it much more open, because marathon training can be pretty intense. Even if you're just training to finish, you still want to do the, like, all the required runs and all that stuff. So just take this opportunity to have some fun and get after it, you know?
It's also, I think you can reframe it too, in terms of like, all right, I want to focus on speed. You could also reframe it, like you just mentioned, Tommy, like all the local races. I mean, we've been talking about it before, and then you're talking about like, hey, go to more group runs. It could be like, hey, this is like my season of like social running, right? Like, or like my season of like really getting into like the local running scene. Because for some people, running marathon training can be kind of lonely, right? Because you might not be on the same cycle as some. Even if you know other marathoners, their marathon might be at a different time, right? So like your marathon workouts might not align. Their 3 hour window of time to get a long run in might be different than your 3 hour window. Whereas like if you do more like the group running thing, maybe getting part of like a club or things like that, and then kind of couple that with, hey, I'm going to do a bunch of local races on top of it. Mm-hmm. You could be like completely meshed into the local running scene by the end of the season. And like, it could be like a totally different running experience.
For sure. Yeah. Cause marathoning is just, I mean, like you said, even if someone's marathon training with you or in the same race as you, but they have different kind of plans, it's so many times you're still alone. Like, you can meet up and you still do your own workout and you're all by yourself. And when you take yourself out of that loop a little bit, it's like, oh, I can just do what my friends are doing. Like, I could just jump in and have some fun and hang out and spend some time with family. You know, God forbid we're not like out on the roads all the time, grinding it out, like making amazing Instagram content. Like, sometimes you just gotta like chill out and enjoy the family, enjoy the friends.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you also, like, if you were to say, I mean, the last piece before we get into like some marathon alternatives, if someone wants to do a half, the thing is like, you can jump into halves. You know, I think people think like, because it has the name, the word marathon in the name, they think, oh, but you know, I have to prepare for it, and like, mm-hmm. and then I have to recover. It's like, you're probably ready to run a half if you're just doing normal, like 10 to 12 mile long runs on the weekends. You can jump into a half marathon almost spontaneously. That's kind of the norm if you're going out for, again, the 90 minutes or 2 hour run on the weekends. In addition to that, you really don't need more than like 4 or 5 days of recovery before just diving in back into normal training. So you could do one a month and not feel like overburdened, or that you're not getting good training in, or that you're constantly like just, you know, racing and recovering. You can still get in a normal running block even with that sort of setup.
100%. And that sounds like way more fun sometimes than like running two marathons and dedicating the whole year to just two races, you know?
Right. All right. We can talk about other marathon experiences in a second, but I think that what you just said, Tommy, can be a great segue into another topic I want to hit before Mike has to leave us. And that is CJ Albertson, who is not shy at all about running a bunch of marathons in a row. This man, my gosh. So people might know he ran the California International Marathon, you know, what felt like yesterday, you know, for us who were out there, right? So he ran it, you know, 8 days ago, wins the race, runs incredibly well. And I think all of us just assumed, okay, CJ's probably going to get ready for the trials now. Not so fast, my friend. CJ goes down and runs the Baja Marathon down in Mexico this past weekend. So 1 week after running CIM, and I think 5 weeks after running Fresno Marathon, where she ran 2:11:34, he comes back. He goes sub 2:11:30, which is significant because it's now under the world standard time. So if he gets, say, top three at the trials but doesn't break 2:11:30, he'll still be able to go to the Olympics because he has broken the world standard time. Mike, you've run a lot of races. We've talked about this a lot. Like, hey, I go to a lot of races, doesn't mean I can PR all a lot of them. You've run a lot of marathons, even in one season. When you see what he's done and the times he has done it in, like, what are some of your first impressions about this just wild string of weeks by CJ?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the joke that I always tell people is that, like, I run longer distances because if I run them shorter, I can't run them much faster anyway. But he's like taking that to like the crazy extreme where like this is as fast as he can run, but like where most people would take 2 weeks completely off and then ease back into another training block. He jumped into another race like 7 days later and ran just as fast. And so it doesn't really make a ton of sense unless you've like followed his Strava, which I have for a little while. Not that I'm an expert in CJ's training, but like he's done a lot of ultra roads style training. And so like these kinds of long weekends for him are, they're certainly remarkable, but they're not unusual for him to do. He's just built different. And this is just CJ being CJ, I think.
Yeah, I think my first thoughts are like, amazing, like that's crazy. But then I'm like, almost like curious, like what could you do if it was only one race? You know, like I don't know, like because I've run a couple races like within a shorter time span, not like this close to each other. But people go, oh, well, what if you didn't have three races, you know, you could have run faster or something like that. Like, I wonder if like all out, like if he just is a crazy person for that. Like, and if you can do those in that little small like window of like sub 2:11:30 to 2:10 or something like that. If you could do that, I just feel like in my mind as like I'm an amateur, so I'm like, oh, you definitely can run 2:05. You know what I mean? But
right, and like that's the crazy part too. That's the crazy part too, Tommy, because like he ran Fresno with the idea of getting the world standard. That's why he ran it, and he missed by 4 seconds. So it's not like he ran that race,
right?
Like, okay, I'm gonna put a little bit in the save some in the tank for CIM. Like he was going all out, and he just barely missed. So you're like, all right, like that was probably for him. Like that was all out. That was giving it a go. But then here he is, like coming back so fast. It's like I can't tell if it's what you said. Like, all right, what would happen if it was like a focus? Like, all right, do this. Or if it's more like this man is more like what Kafuzi said of like, hey, he's going to run the same pace no matter what. So he might as well just keep doing it because like here he is, like just keep like the power of like his recovery. I don't know what it is, what he's doing. I don't know if it's just purely genetic or he's got like the X-Men lab and is in like deep underneath his house. But like it's wild. Like remember, he did the 7 mile stroller run after CIM. So remember, he drove home after CIM and then run 7 miles at like 7:30 pace while pushing a stroller that day. Did the marathon stroller double.
His old lady, he got home and she's like, how was the race? He's like, it was pretty good. All right. kids got to go outside. So you're going to take her for a while. Okay. Got it. They right back out the door. In my mind, I don't even think that he like did anything. Like, he just went inside. Put different shoes on, got back outside, hit the stroller for 7 miles, you know? But that is incredible. Like I just think that's insane to me. And maybe you're right. Maybe it's one gear, you know? I don't know.
Hey, Matt, do you know, was CIM not eligible for the World Athletic Standard? Is that why he had to go run another one? Because he ran faster at CIM, right?
What he did CIM? For the same reason Boston isn't. The point-to-point races... are not eligible. Okay. And I think
is it too much
I'm
downhill
not sure
too?
If the net downhill on CIM also makes it ineligible. It's not a huge net downhill, so it might not, but point to point races are excluded from it.
Okay. What, he ran like 2:11 low to win CIM. And so I was like, he ran another one and to get the 2:11:30. And I was confused when I first saw that. I'm like, he has a time. CIM is fine for hitting the OTQ standard, but it's not for hitting a world athletic standard.
I thought it was a joke. I thought it was like,
oh, really?
Like, I thought it was like your boy Scott Jurek was diving into road racing and like posting funny memes on Instagram. Like, I didn't realize. And then I got like, as soon as I saw it, Peter sent me a text message like, did you see this? Like, at the same time, that's when I was like, oh my God, it's been verified. Like, this is insane.
That is crazy. I mean, it baffles me though. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Who recovers faster, Tommy? Wolverine or CJ Albertson?
CJ Albertson. I mean, have you seen the last Wolverine?
I haven't. No. Yeah, spoiler alert.
He slows down healing for sure.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but it's just like, I mean, it's kind of like there's runners out there that can just recover fast and they have kind of one speed that they can go. If you change the distance, it doesn't change too much. Courtney, like Dahlwalter from the trails, is the same thing. She can recover from 100 mile races like nobody else can.
Right.
You know? And she just like, is able to dominate that way.
I feel like they should write books just about that. That's it. Like, we don't necessarily, like, you know, no shade to CJ or Courtney. I just feel like at this point, the only thing the public should care about is the recovery time. Like, forget how fast you're doing these things. Forget all the records and, like, the amazing, you know, feats. But I think the most impressive thing about both of these two people is the recovery time, for sure.
Yeah, but I want someone else to write the books about them recovering. Because I think for both of them, I think they'd both be like, I don't know what's the big deal. I just, like, took a couple naps and I was good. Like, because if you've grown up and you've always been... If you've always been a fast recoverer, you don't realize you're a fast recoverer, you know? So they're just be like, I don't know. I had an extra burrito and I took an extra nap and then I was ready to run another marathon next week.
What's
like
in Ken the burrito?
Reinhardt being like, it's like Ken Reinhardt being like, I'm not talented. You're like, you are the world champion. What do you mean you're not talented? Like, can you be the world champion?
Bro.
It's like everyone else, is no one else training? Is that really it?
Yeah. So someone else needs to write the book, but I'll be the first one to buy it.
Yeah, I will
let me ask you this:
them,
would it need a parental advisory sticker, like some of those CDs we used to buy when we were younger? Like, would there need to be a warning label? And if this book was turned into a documentary, would it be rated R for like parental guidance required? Because like, I feel like if like, in the wrong hands, this would be like, oh, I'm just gonna go do that. You're like, no, dog, you don't want to be doing that.
Yeah, not because it's explicit, but just because you should not try it at home.
Yeah. It should come with like a warning label, kind of. You know what I mean? Like can't hurt me. Like that should have came with a warning label. So like,
can't people... hurt me hurt a lot of people.
And it's not his fault.
A lot of people were like, well, he ran with broken ankles, so I can run on my plantar fasciitis. Not really. It's not how it works. David Goggins
hurt
is
more
built
people.
A little different.
Vibram five fingers or can't hurt me.
That's a close one. I don't know, man. I don't know. That's a tough to call. You know, we got to look at the sales for each one and then like the spike in injuries.
If you do David Goggins' routine in five fingers, is it like, does it cancel out or is it like, all right, no, we're just going exponential pain.
Yeah. The pain just
you'll be out first. You're the one out first.
Yeah. You're out. No. I think it's crazy. I love that somebody like him that, I mean, you have a lot going. You're a professional athlete. I think the fact that he just gets back out there and takes a shot and goes for it, even like when he leads the, when he leads the Boston Marathon for, 20 miles of it or whatever, just pushing the pace. Some will say like, oh, he just, like it's just trying to be out front to get camera time. That is not who we're talking about. Like, he is not one of those guys. He's like, this is what I do. I run fast downhill and I just go. And I like stuff like that. I like seeing that. I think that some of us amateur runners could have more fun if we push ourselves sometimes. Like, obviously, don't get too crazy. But it's like, I think sometimes we could take a chance and have a little more fun with our thing, you know?
And CJ's gone from, like, 4 years ago, even 2 years ago, being, like, a wild card on the elite side. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, who knows what CJ Albertson's going to do to, like... No, we kind of know. Like, he's now morphed into, like, super consistent. It's like, he's going to run between 210 and 211.30 on any course, any conditions, in any kind of recovery period. And you just got to be able to run faster than that. Because you know what he's capable of doing. Like, is he capable of going 207? I guess we'll find out. But, like, every time he steps to the line, he doesn't have bad races. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to be in it. So, like... If it's a hot day in Orlando or if they go out conservative, like, a lot of high level races do that don't have rabbits, like you might not want to have that dude around in the last 6 miles because he's going to close. He's not going to fail.
Right. Yeah. No, it's like he's like one of those players like in the NBA that just not like a crazy superstar, like jumping out the gym or whatever. But, for sure, like, the ball is in his hands. He's going to deliver. And it's just going to be that consistent thing. So don't leave him open. You know what I'm saying?
Jalen Brunson.
That's the guy.
Jalen Brunson. I like to, like, he's a smaller guy, right? And it's like, hey,
right, you know, right, okay.
He's not gonna necessarily win the MVP award, but like he'll drop 48, definitely.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
not gonna have 12. He'll never have 12.
Never 12. You know, and that and you need and I think like run in from a running thing like that. You need somebody like that on the especially on the American side, someone that's just you know gonna make people have to like that should be faster. On paper, you make them push like okay, like I can't just be arrogant here. I know for sure I got to run sub 210. You know, if I want to win this race.
They're very different in so many ways, but I kind of have the same approach to like Kellen Taylor. Of like, she's gonna run.
Like, she's gonna hit her number. Yeah,
she's gonna hit her number. Like, shoot, she had like a broken leg in the trials last time. Like, she was right there. She was in the top 10.
Right? Can't hurt me. It's
like
can't hurt me,
even
dog.
In New York, pushing the pace against some of the best runners in the world. Like, she doesn't back down. She's not scared of anybody. Like, you're not gonna be like this person's gonna wilt. Like, it ain't gonna happen. Like, you're gonna have to outrun them. They're not gonna like lose the race on their own accord.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Yeah, that's a good comparison too.
All right, Mike had to bail. But hey, let's talk about some of the fall races, fall marathons specifically that you like or you would recommend. Sorry, so people didn't get into Chicago, Berlin. They're looking around. They're like, all right, I have plenty of time to sign up for these races. I don't know which ones. I think there's a couple different categories we could pick too. There's like, all right, do you want to embrace more like the local race, kind of like go the complete opposite of the Chicago or Berlin experience? You can do like, no, I still want to do like the big city race. And there's some other ones that are a really good choice, which obviously they both have. But some people choose Chicago because it is super fast. Right. So their goal is like, hey, I want to run Chicago because I'm PR hunting. So there's also some other options that maybe aren't as big as Chicago, but are flat and fast. But I don't know where you want to pick up from it. If there's certain races on that you've run or that you're aware of that could be a good fit for people kind of going down this line.
No, honestly, I don't really know. Like, because I haven't been running that long, like in the grand scheme of things, like, and I've had a lot of luck, like in, you know, blessing to be able to like jump into some of the bigger ones. Right. But I do know that like, so I ran Erie last year, but that's a little early too. That's in September. That's in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Well, that's Berlin time. Berlin's in September.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but it's like, it's that like, if you a little later would be better, obviously. Cause it's like, you know, you get to have a little more fun with it and training isn't so like dead middle of summer, but there's so many, right? I mean, there's so many races like, and I don't know if people use it a lot, but like that I think it's like findmymarathon.com or something like that. Like, it's literally every race, every marathon in the country or every half marathon in the country is on this website.
Right.
And you search by your state and it's pretty clear. It's, you know, straightforward. That's how I found, you know, Glass City, I think in the beginning when I first started. Glass City was in Toledo. That's a spring race, but there's so many different races out there. And it doesn't take away from, you know, it's just because it's not a major city marathon doesn't take away from, you know, anything. Like some of them are even better to run because it feels a little more like it's easier to control. I have a couple friends that instead of they didn't get into Boston. So instead of like reaching for like a big race, they're going to like a smaller local race so they can control like the morning. You know, they don't have to travel to get there. And it's like literally like 30 minutes away from their house. They don't have to like fly and figure out sleep schedules. You just drive up when you feel comfortable, you know, like you're in your own car. Some of that can like really help the performance actually. So like, it's not a step down. It's actually a chance to kind of focus up and really like narrow in on your goal.
Right. I think some of the big city ones in the fall, outside of those two, Philly is a huge one. Mm-hmm. That's well regarded. That is a more challenging course, right? It's kind of like in the New York range. Again, it's around the same time as New York. But think about like how like, people don't go to New York to PR. It's kind of the same way with Philly.
It's hilly.
So yeah, it's hilly. I think it's like 700, 800 feet of elevation gain. So it's not crazy. It's not like doing an ultra, but it's significant, right? Yeah, so it's not super flat. The other one is, again, besides New York, that's the obvious one, but is Marine Corps. So Marine Corps is huge down in DC. Get to do a lot of, get to see some cool sites. But you're in DC, so it can be warm, even though it's a little bit later in the year. Like I've had plenty of runners who were actually from the area been like, oh my God, it's going to be one of the warmer weekends, you know? So it's tough, but it's huge and people love it down there. One
you got
that,
Indy. Indie too.
Indie, and that's the other one. Yeah, indie for sure. I think people kind of view indie in Chicago in similar fashion from a speed perspective, right? Very like much. This can be a flat, fast one.
Yeah, I know for sure indie because my friend Aaron ran the half there, and a lot of the elites from the Midwest go there. Just to make sure that because of the controlled setting, because it's a little closer, as opposed to going to like the big city thing where it can be a little more hectic, a lot more pressure, easier to kind of mess up the routine. And Indy is very fast from what I hear, like not necessarily just the course, but the people that go there go there with some intention of like, I want to break four today. I want to break 3:30, you know, like, so it's there's these big,
similar to CIM
moving. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think one thing that gets tough with Indy is that they have had some difficult weather. So I think it was 5 years ago, our friend on Relay, Stephanie Flippin, she ran Indy. She got hypothermic during Monumental. Cold, And then it was not this year, but the previous year, it was like windy with like 30 mile an hour wind. It was like rainy with like 30 mile an hour wind gusts. So it's like if you went there to like run fast and all of a sudden you're running into like 20 to 30 mile hour winds, like good luck. Obviously, if it's at your back, that's a whole different story. But it was like swirling winds, like it was crazy. So like they've had some difficult weather in the past, which again, you can't predict weather, but like it can make people gun shy if like a couple years in a row a race has tough weather and like the whole point of going is to go get a PR.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but it's like that's like the chance you take though, because like you know, you want to have a race that's a little later in the fall because of the training for it is a little easier, because the chances of it being hot are so much lower, and I mean, I'd rather it be kind of cold than like end up being a random 72 degree day, you know.
I agree with
for performance wise, like it sucks either way, but performance, I think you can squeeze out like a good performance still if it's a little colder than you want, than a little hotter than you want, you know.
Yeah, you can rock the tights, get the gloves on.
Yeah. You gotta don't get cute, you know. Pull a Des Linden, don't take the jacket off, you know what I'm saying? Just go for it, you know, because like that's the thing. We all like we get there, like we got to have our singlet on, you know, and our half tights and stuff. Like,
if LeBron James can wear tights in an NBA game, you can wear tights in a marathon.
I don't know if the comparison's the same.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you're not going to get too warm. If it's 32 degrees and you wear tights, LeBron James is wearing them in an NBA arena.
That's true. I mean, that's true. Yeah, you got a point there. You got a point.
So I think they have that rule that they instituted that rule in the NBA where like they're not allowed to wear tights. So they wear them down to like mid calf.
Yeah.
And then they wear compression socks that go like a half inch below the tights. Yeah. So there's like, it almost looks like they're wearing like this really high anklet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the tights are just going like almost like the whole way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what the reason was for the no tights. What was that for?
I think I don't know. I think they're probably worried like it was going to go like too far.
Oh yeah, like somebody's like gonna like pull up wearing joggers, you know?
Or maybe like the 1990s tights, you know, like the neon like striping, like the 1990s tights. Have you ever seen pictures of those?
I guarantee one person came out for like warm ups wearing the wrong thing, you know, and then Adam Silver was like, "Yo, no, this isn't happening."
I think it was right after like the windbreaker era of like the late 80s, early 90s. It was like the running tight era was like these fantastical designs that looked more like a computer like screensaver than clothing.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about. I know.
So one of the brands leaned into it heavy. Another race that gets slept on, but if you're in the Northeast, is known as a really fast one in the fall, is Wineglass. It's in upstate New York. It's not too upstate, but it's in New York, not close to the city.
Yeah.
And it's fast and it's scenic. So people who are in the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic region, really like that race. There's a lot of people go back to it for kind of like, that's their BQ race, right? Yeah. So they'll do that in the fall and then they'll do Boston in the spring if it goes well. But a lot of people around here really like Wineglass. And because it's New York, like there's a lot of airports that are fairly close, you know? So if you're not, I mean, if you're already were willing to go to Chicago or Berlin, you're probably not averse to flying or like traveling to get to a race. So that one's slept on, nationally, but locally, that's a well-regarded race.
Yeah, I haven't heard. I've heard of it before, but I don't know anybody that's run it. I'd imagine it's obviously good. Do you get a wine glass at the end?
Yo, yeah, you got to.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, maybe they're just like, oh no, that's because like James Wineglass VII, you know, stood here before. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. His father was cooler. The seventh wasn't as cool as James Wineglass VI.
James Wineglass VI was an absolute legend. You know, the guy was just like, you know, a man's man. You know, you know, he traveled all over the world, and he's decided to, you know, to set roots here. You know.
Right. Then, you know, you can't pass heritage on forever. You know, at some point you're going to get that spoiled brat kid, you know, who's like who's been living off the wine glass family fortune for a long time. And all of a sudden, you know, wants to major in, you know, I don't know, acupuncture studies and is more interested in like either, you know, taking a dinghy across the Atlantic Ocean or being in an a cappella group. You know,
I mean,
you can't keep the fortune going forever.
No, I mean, if you're the seventh, I mean... Just assume that maybe six in a row were good. It's you got to change the name after six. You know what I mean? Like you're rolling the dice. You know what I mean? Like you literally probably just walk out the casino if you're the six. You know, just go to something different. Maybe even
look
change
at the Foremans,
last name.
Right? George Foreman. All of a sudden, your name George Foreman. None of them has done anything. It's still just the older one.
Because it's too many
ones
of them.
Have had plenty of opportunity. We don't know any of them.
Should have just been like Jeff and Jim and, you know, Kevin or Tony. I don't know. Just
he should have named them after each person he beat, like in a world championship fight. Just to show them all, just
better.
To pull rank all the time.
And then mess up their other legacies as well. Like it would be like, I am going to continue to beat you, because then you give them one extra generation closer to like that seventh. And so no one wants to continue that. So it's like you messed up my whole lineage, bro, by naming your kid after me.
I love that. Yeah, foolproof plan.
Honestly, George is he messed it up.
For sure. I guess last one is for our West Coasters is
the
Portland
back to
Marathon. Yeah, it was this last one, Portland Marathon. Right. So you get a couple things: big city race.
Okay.
Right. Portland is a huge city in the Pacific Northwest. Also, huge running culture in Portland. Huge.
Yes. Obviously.
So you got a couple things going for you. Not a whole lot different than doing like the Eugene Marathon in the spring. Right? So you got a lot of things going for you. Like great vibes, good course. Mm-hmm. Marathon's been around for a while. I know Peter's run it a bunch of times, always spoke highly of it. So I would say if you're more West Coast driven or want to go to the West Coast, that could be a really good one as well.
Right. And not Hawaii, apparently. Honolulu. Is that the Honolulu Marathon that just happened?
Yeah. Why? Did something go down?
No, because it's hot. I think it was like really hot. Like they started it. I watched somebody's story. Shout out to CJ. He took his phone with him the whole time. And up until like almost like mile 11 or 12, it was in the dark. Because I think that they have to start it so early. Because of the heat, I think. I don't know. Maybe it just looks hot there. I don't know if it's actually hot, but it just didn't look pleasant to me.
I think if you're doing the Honolulu Marathon, again, please, you know, please email us info.relaypodcast@gmail.com if you disagree. But I think if you do the Honolulu Marathon, you have to be single. Like, if you're going with your family, like, there's just so many issues for you and the family. It's like, wait, why are we going here? Why is this part of it? Why can't you walk anymore? Like, I think if you're going to spend like literally like 24 hours to fly there and 24 hours to fly back, incorporating the marathon into like that trip, which is probably not a whole lot longer than like 5 days, is a lot to put in. And it's a lot to ask of your family. So I would say it might be a single person endeavor.
I mean, I feel like, you might be right. You might be right. But then also it can't imagine. I'm going to run a marathon in Hawaii and not taking them. I mean, it's like they got to come. They got
to. That's what I mean. But I think, if you're going to Hawaii, you shouldn't be running the marathon.
Okay. Or be single and go.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're going, if you have a family and you say, we're going to Hawaii, it has to be, we're going to Hawaii to enjoy Hawaii.
Okay.
It's not be like, I'm going to Hawaii and I'm not going to be able to walk downstairs for 36 hours.
Right, and then, because you also like remember you might get laid at the end of it. You know what I mean?
Oh boy, double entendre coming 40 minutes in the podcast.
Oh my god, but I also thought like it was like this hack, a good hack to like make, no matter where you go, to make a family trip really about you. You know, is to do the marathon on the last day of the trip. You know, like get it all done, and mm-hmm. then a couple of days before or a day before you start, got to slow down. Everybody has to like slow down their trip because of you, and then they get to come out support you as a family, and then they have to carry all the luggage on the way back the next day. Like I think that's a splendid way to do a family vacation, is make the last 3 days of it about you.
This is a great talking point. I would say this. How do you feel about sitting in an airplane,
bro? I
for
drove
like 20 hours post marathon.
Oh, I mean, 20 hours is a lot. Yeah, I drove after Erie. I drove 4 hours after Erie. Like literally went back, got our stuff, and jumped in the car and drove after Erie marathon.
I've done this.
It's not necessarily the best thing to do.
Oh no! How many times did you cramp? I cramped 4 times driving back from a marathon, and I was like, I'm gonna be fine. I'm like gritting through it as if it's the race itself. Like I can handle it.
They like, why are you going so fast? It's because your leg's stuck on the accelerator.
It's not my fault, officer. I can't flex my ankle anymore.
Right, look at this leg. Yeah, that's I mean, yeah, Hawaii, just I don't really have any desire to go to Hawaii actually, which is weird, but I don't know. Definitely wouldn't run a marathon there, I don't think.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, last thing. You just started a marathon block.
I did just start a marathon block.
And you're counting down, you're counting up on Strava, right? So yesterday was day six or whatever.
Yeah,
Is this block going to be anything different than that you've done in the past in terms of how you're approaching the training, or maybe like the race itself, or like what has got you excited either for this block or for the upcoming race?
Well, so after Berlin and then after New York, I mean, on paper, the numbers are fine, you know, like, but it's not what I trained for, not what I wanted or whatever. So like, I immediately was like, coach, more miles, more difficulty, you know? So this time around, I'm already like, this week is week one. I think I'm already at like 64 miles. So I'm definitely going to have the miles up high, and just make sure that I pay attention to recovery and all that stuff. Get my CJ Albertson on, you know,
we need to like conference him in.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the coaching calls.
Am I going to do this? But you know, honestly, is like the thought process behind some of it is just to kind of not like go to the well every week, but allow myself to get into that really uncomfortable space and learn how to like relearn how to push through that at this newer pace. Cause I think sometimes as we like get faster, some of the workouts we may do may be easier. You know, it's like, it's a tough workout, but if in hindsight, like 2 years ago, this would have been like the death of me, you know? And then it feels great to nail workouts all the way through the training block. But if you never have those workouts where you're like, holy crap, like, I don't know if I'm gonna finish this. Like, I think we're robbing ourselves of like an opportunity to like add to the, like the level of grit, you know? So really working on the grit this time around, and then staying in the gym, you know, doing all like the strength training and all that stuff to just support this new effort.
And also, you're not the same runner that you were a couple years ago, like going for like sub-3 and all of that. Like, you also wonder, like, people who are at your level, like if they just, you know, need higher level workouts in terms of like the volume, not necessarily the intensity, but like the volume of it, right? In terms of like comparing it to what you did 3 years ago, that kind of sits you down to that.
Yeah. It's like, because technically, you could do the same workout that you did 2 years ago. But 2 years ago you went in, you know, you were, you know, whatever week in the marathon training block, and you had 20 less miles that total week, or maybe even more. You know, so then you do that same workout now, and it's just different. Like, it's like you needed more rest to do it well back then. You don't need as much rest now, but then at the same time, like, you still want to be able to be pushing and reaching. And I'm like really into like podcasts and things like that now, where they're talking about just you know, the willingness to be super uncomfortable and do like challenging things every day. Cause I just feel like us not being comfortable got us to the point we're at now, you know, but then sometimes you get there and it's like, you're looking to be, you're thinking that because I'm better and faster, things should be easier. And that's not the case.
Right. That's a great point. Yeah. It's also like, how long does it need to be uncomfortable for before I adapt? Or is it like, am I just doing too much?
Right. And like, it's almost like it, like I'm feeling like right now, like it, I feel like it just needs to always be difficult. You know, like it, you know, it always has to be challenging. Like it, I don't, we always like, we're trying to get somewhere. And then even if you train, it's like, I feel like this should pace should be easier. Like, well, it really shouldn't, because it's 20 seconds faster than the last time you did this, you know, like you're, it should never be just comfortable and easy just because you're faster or whatever.
And you're talking about like workout days and stuff. Not like,
yeah. Workout day. Yeah. Marathon pace, you know, whatever it is, like, as long as you're moving forward. And I guess I'm saying all this because it's like, sometimes we doubt ourselves too, because we're trying to get faster. And we go like, this shouldn't be that this hard because I'm supposed to be better now. But if you're reaching still and you're trying to take it to the next level, just, I guess, welcome that like, oh, this is challenging. So that means I'm going in the right direction.
I love that. All right. Anything else before we get going?
No, man. Not at all.
Let's do it. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Relay. Go share it with a friend. Follow on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to the show. Also, make sure you rate it 5 stars. 5 stars only, people. 5 stars.
5 stars, please. 5 stars.
All right. See ya.
Peace out.